Matthew chapter 5, I've titled the lesson this morning, You Are the Salt of the Earth. Our Lord, the Prince of Preachers, uses an illustration here so simple, something every one of us have in our kitchen table, in our cabinet, something we see and use every day, something as simple as salt, to show us the truth of the gospel. Let's look here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. The Master says, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Now, in Scripture, salt has several meanings. The first thing I thought of was that salt being a symbol of God's judgment. Remember, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt when she looked back at Sodom. Salt is also a symbol of barrenness, often destroyed cities. You know, the conqueror comes in, destroys the city. Remember how they would sow it with salt so nothing could grow there. It's a symbol of barrenness. But if you look in Leviticus chapter 2, salt is also a picture of God's grace. Leviticus chapter 2. Verse 13. In every oblation of thy meat offering shalt thou season with salt. Neither shalt thou suffer the salt of the covenant of thy God to be lacking from thy meat offering. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Every meat offering was to be salted before it was offered. And that salt was a picture of God's covenant of grace. He calls it here the salt of the covenant. Christ's sacrifice for his people was offered to the Father in grace for God's people. Salt on the meat offering was a picture of the grace of Christ's sacrifice. You know, we have food. Salt just makes it taste better. Well, salting the sacrifice was a picture of how sweet Christ's sacrifice would taste to his people. Salt also preserves food. Salting the sacrifice showed how Christ's sacrifice would be good forever, always preserving, protecting his people. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Here's another reference to the salt of the covenant. The salt of the covenant is a picture of God's covenant of grace, God's promise of grace to his people. 2 Chronicles chapter 13. And Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaraim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? David was made king by God's grace, not because David deserved it, but by God's grace. And God promised David, David, you're going to be king. And he promised David he's going to have a son to reign upon his throne because of God's grace. David did not earn that kind of favor from God, did he? Before he was king or after he was king. He didn't do anything to deserve that kind of favor from God. It was given to him by God's grace. It was given to him by God's promise. Not because David earned it, but because of God's promise. Now, back in our text, did you notice this? That the Lord did not say his grace is the salt of the earth. He said, you who believe are the salt of the earth. Because God's grace is in you. And I want to look at three properties of salt to see how God's people are the salt of the earth. I tell you my three points. Number one is this. Salt makes food taste better. Two, salt is a preservative. And third, salt has healing properties. Now first, salt makes food taste better. It just does. I mean, there's just no denying salt makes food taste better. I mean, I hate to think of eggs without salt. I mean, I just despise to think of corn on the cob without salt. I mean, I might not even need it. I mean, I just hate to think of that. When you're getting ready to grill meat, Jonathan taught me this. Just salt it real good and let that salt sit on that raw meat for a good while before you grill it. it'll taste so much better. It'll tenderize it, make it taste better. Even homemade ice cream recipes call for salt. Salt makes the sweet taste better. For the gospel of God's grace is the salt that makes everything taste better to the believer. Now, all the doctrines that we believe and we preach are true. These are true doctrines. We cannot compromise them. But it's the salt of God's grace that makes it taste good. God's election of a people is true. You cannot read this book honestly and deny God's election of a people. But we do not preach that truth right unless we preach it as the election of grace. It's an election of grace. It's not a mean, cold, hard doctrine. It's the election of grace. It's the only hope a sinner has. We won't choose God unless He first chooses us. Now that tastes good to sinners that cannot deserve salvation, doesn't it? Limited atonement is a true doctrine. Limited atonement doesn't mean that the power of Christ's sacrifice was limited. It was limited in its scope. Christ did not die for everyone. He only died for God's elect. Now that's truth. But you know, you can make that sound. I've heard people do it. You can make that sound mean and hard if you don't preach it right. But the salt of grace makes limited atonement taste good to God's people. The Lord Jesus Christ graciously died for His people who do not deserve Him. And those people shall be saved. They cannot perish because Christ died to put their sin away. Nothing tastes better to a helpless sinner than that, does it? The irresistible call of the Spirit is a true doctrine. But the salt of God's grace is what makes that taste good to God's people. I've got good news for you. You don't have to figure this out on your own. You don't have to figure salvation out on your own. You don't have to figure out the purpose of the eternal God on your own. You don't have to find a way to get to God and be accepted on your own. It's a good thing, too, because you're dead and you can't do it. But God the Holy Spirit will draw all of God's elect to Christ irresistibly. They won't be able to resist, but now they're not coming against their will. He's going to make them willing. They will be willing in the day of His power. And they won't be able to stay away. They will stay away. You know, in preaching the gospel and being a pastor, you know, we want to see God save His people. We want to see those things. But I'll tell you what, you don't have to talk God's people into doing anything. You don't have to do one thing. You just preach the gospel to them and you wait. If they belong to Christ, the Spirit will draw them. Draw them to Christ and they'll come willingly. The perseverance of the saints is true. This is a true doctrine. I cannot for the life of me understand why somebody would argue against, you hear this in religion, you know, once saved, always saved. Why would you want to argue against that? This is a true statement, true doctrine. It's the salt, though, of God's grace that makes that taste good to God's people. Here's more good news for you. If God has saved you, you don't have to keep yourself. No, you don't have to keep yourself, and it's a good thing, isn't it? Because we can't do it. But God will keep and preserve His people to the end. He'll keep them by the power of His grace. This salt will never lose its power, never lose its savor. He will keep His people by the power of His grace. Now that tastes good. Oh, that tastes good. Give me more of that. And I know, naturally speaking, too much salt can be bad for our bodies. It can give you a high blood pressure or whatever. And, you know, we ought to use the sense God gave us. Whatever is good, use it in moderation. But spiritually speaking, you can't get too much salt. No, you can't get too much of God's grace. Too much table salt could be bad for our bodies. But I'll tell you what, not enough grace will be deadly to our spiritual man. It'll be a detriment to the health of the spiritual man if we don't get a lot of salt, a lot of grace, as much as we can get. Now remember, the Lord says, you are the salt of the earth. You who believe are the salt of the earth. It's God's grace in his people that makes them useful to this world. Now make it your business to be like salt and be useful to the world in which you live. God's given you this message of grace. He's given you this message of salvation by grace. Now, brethren, let's go preach it and preach it in grace. God's people, you're the salt of the earth. You are to make this world a more pleasant place. First of all, by preaching the gospel to every creature, by preaching the gospel all over the world. Go out in your life and shake your salt shaker as liberally as you can all over this world. It'll make it a sweeter place. And we need to remember this, though, about preaching the gospel. The message of the gospel is offensive to the flesh. That's why we need to be sure we preach it with salt. Preach it with grace. Preach it graciously and kindly. Now, don't take an edge off the truth. Don't deny the truth. Don't take an edge off the truth. But preach the truth kindly and graciously so that if somebody's offended and leave, let's make sure it's because they're offended because of the gospel, not because of my bad attitude. Preach it with grace. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Here is exactly what I'm talking about. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 5, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now, walk in wisdom, speak in wisdom, but season your words with salt. Let your speech always be with grace, not just to know what to say, but how to say it. How to say it in a way that's gracious and kind, having compassion on a dead lost sinner. So when we preach, when we talk to folks, let's be sure our speech is well seasoned with salt, that it's full of God's grace. And our Lord warns us the salt could lose its savor. Now, he's not saying that someone could lose their salvation, they can lose God's grace, they'll take his grace away from them. He's not saying that at all. The salt loses its savor when somebody compromises the gospel. When they start getting another goal, a goal for the flesh, a goal for results, a goal to build a bigger ministry, a goal to get more money, whatever it is, when they compromise the gospel, the salt loses its savor, loses its power. If we take the edge off the gospel, we make the gospel lose its power to save. Now, why would you want to preach a message that has no power to save? The salt's lost its power, its savor. When we compromise the gospel, we take away the gospel's power to heal, and to comfort, to preserve God's people. Why would we want to do that? Don't you care about folks? I mean, first of all, don't you care about God? Don't you care about his truth? Don't you care about his gospel? But second, don't you care about people you preach to? The gospel loses its power when we make salvation depend upon something that the creature does or does not do, not purely grace alone. Salt substitutes might work just fine on your kitchen table. Now, it's my opinion that they don't, but you might think salt substitutes work fine on your kitchen table. But I promise you this, this is a hard, fast, true statement, not in the pulpit. No salt substitute, no substitute for grace will ever work in the pulpit. It'll never bring God glory. It'll never save a sinner. It'll never comfort his people. It'll never edify and cause his people to grow in grace. How can somebody grow in grace if you withhold salt? Can't be done, can it? But here's another way that our speech should always be with grace, seasoned with salt. It's by the way that we talk to one another. The salt of grace in our speech makes it more bearable for our brothers and sisters to go through this life, to go through the unbearable and the difficult. Let's talk to each other with words
full of grace,
seasoned with salt. That's how you're useful to one another. And I can show you that in Job chapter 6. Poor old Job. My goodness. We just can't even imagine the depths that Job was in here. And then these three poor friends come to him with all this religious jargon. And look what he tells them in Job 6, verse 6. Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? This is what Job is telling his friends. He said, you didn't bring me any salt of grace in the way that you came to speak to me. You're miserable comforters. Not only did they not help, they made it worse by with not having their speech with grace. They made it worse by not salting their speech with grace. They came to him and said, what, Job? You must have done something wrong now. This is why God's punishing you. God wouldn't do this to you unless you did something wrong. Let's see if we can figure out here what you did wrong. That's so harsh. My soul, that's so judgmental. There's not a drop of grace in that, is there? Not a drop of grace in it. And this is what Job's saying. He said, boys, this trial is hard to swallow. It sure would be easier if my friends came to me with some salt. It'd be a whole lot easier to swallow. It'd be a whole lot easier to endure. Your words would have tasted a whole lot better if you sprinkled some salt of grace on them. Now you who believe, we're the salt of the earth. Let's pray that the Lord will enable us to speak with words full of grace, that salt is sprinkled in our speech. Our words will be a whole lot more profitable if we do. All right, two. Salt is a preservative. You know, people cure ham and all kinds of different meat with salt. It keeps that meat from spoiling, even though there's no refrigeration. Well, the salt of God's grace is a powerful preservative. It's grace that preserves His people. It's grace that preserves God's people to the end. It's God's grace that keeps us from spoiling and falling away. It's God's grace that keeps us from spoiling and being offensive to everybody around us. The smell of spoiled meat. Ooh. Boy, that smells bad, doesn't it? How much worse do we smell when this flesh was spoiled without salt, the salt of God's grace? Now the Lord says, you are the salt of the earth. You know, God preserves this world for the elect's sake. That's exactly right. Remember when Abraham interceded for Sodom? The Lord came and said, why hide this thing I'm going to do from my friend Abraham? And he told Abraham what he's going to do. I'm going to destroy this city. I'm going to destroy this whole plain. And Abraham interceded for those people. He said, oh Lord. He said, you wouldn't destroy that city. Peradventure there are 50 righteous men in it, would you? The Lord said, no, I won't restore it. I won't destroy it for the 50 city. And Abraham said, oh, now I've taken it on me to speak to the Lord. I'm just but dust. But Lord, you wouldn't destroy it for the sake of 45, would you? And Lord said, if there's 45 righteous people in that city, I won't destroy it. How about 40? How about 30? How about 20? How about 10? I won't destroy it for 10. And Abraham left off speaking, but you know what? Actually, the Lord did not destroy the city for the sake of one. One righteous man was the salt that preserved that place. And when it came time to destroy that city, you know what the angel told Lot? You've got to get out of here. I cannot destroy this city as long as you're in it. Salt is what preserved. Now, when the salt was gone, the place was destroyed, wasn't it? But he could not destroy that city, because there's one of God's children in it. And right now, you know why this world keeps spinning in space? You know why God hadn't destroyed this whole thing already?
It's for the elect's sake. The Lord's preserving this wicked, wicked world for the sake of his elect. God cannot. We think God can do anything. Here's one thing God can't do. He cannot wipe out this creation until all of his elect have been called to faith in Christ. There could be some not even born yet. God's going to preserve this world for him. And when it comes time for God to destroy this creation, he's going to destroy it with fire, create a new heaven and new earth, the second creation. He will not destroy this earth with fire until all of his elect have been taken out of it. He preserves this world for the elect's sake. It's grace. It's in God's grace that he preserves his people till that time, till the end. It's God's grace that preserves them. It's not the strength of their faith. It's not the strength of their doctrine. It's not, they're just so strong they won't come. No, it's God's grace that preserves them to the end. By the same grace, he preserves his people and preserves this world for the elect's sake. And in our preaching, it's God's grace that's the preservative. You know, the thing about preaching, I watched, you know, I don't want to use the same phrases over and over again. You want to watch how you do that because you know what? Every message, the same message. Well, how come you don't get tired of it? Hear the same message over and over and over again. How come you don't? It's God's grace that preserves it. It's God's grace that preserves our preaching and makes it useful. It's God's grace that keeps us from spoiling true doctrine. God's grace keeps our preaching the preaching of Christ. Not intellectual facts, not facts that might tickle the fancy, but keeps our preaching the preaching of Christ. It's God's grace that keeps us from compromising the truth. It's God's grace that keeps us from seeking results, but rather seek God's glory. It's God's grace that's the preservative. All right, thirdly, salt has healing powers. Now, we use the phrase pouring salt in a wound to mean somebody's adding to our pain. Pouring salt in a wound hurts. It's adding injury or insult to injury, isn't it? But you know, pouring salt in a wound could be good. That salt could kill infection in that wound and help that wound heal. Well, that's the gospel. The gospel of grace has healing powers. But before that gospel heals, it's going to hurt. It's going to kill the flesh. The flesh has got to be killed before we can ever be healed. And you know what? For the believer, it's going to have to do that over and over and over again. A few years ago, our daughter called me on the way home from a Wednesday night service in Lexington. And I could tell the sound of her voice, she was happy. And she said, "Boy, I got a spanking tonight." And she said, "I'm so glad." She said, "I heard the message of grace." And she said, "That just made me quit looking at myself. Quit looking at my circumstances and made me look to Christ. Now I got the right perspective on everything again." And she said, "I'm so happy. Feel so settled." Well, next morning, I called her pastor, Brother Todd, and told him what Holly had said. She said, "Well, I got spanking last night." And Todd was horrified. I mean, he said, "No, that wasn't supposed to be a spanking at all. That was supposed to be a message of comfort." He was really upset. He said, "I wanted to preach a message of comfort to God's people. It wasn't supposed to be that." And I said, "But Todd, it was. It was a message of comfort. And made me so thankful. Oh, so thankful. Sometimes God will use the salt of grace to correct us, to fix our wagon. And he doesn't always use the rod. Aren't you thankful?" Oh, when you think of it that way, you think, "Oh, Lord, pour salt in the wound." Don't. That's what we think. We think of it that way. Now, I did a little bit of research on salt. Pretty much all I know about salt is it tastes good and somehow preserves food. But I looked this up. Salt's a whole lot more useful, and I realized it was. Salt reduces acid in the body. Salt detoxifies your skin. They use salt water to flush out wounds. Salt can help muscle cramps, relieve muscle cramps. You can gargle with warm salt water and help your throat. And you can soak in warm salt water and help aching bones and joints and muscles. Well, God's grace is a whole lot more useful than the natural man ever realizes. And I would encourage all of us to daily take a long soak. Janet has a big old, well, we have it, but Janet uses a big old bathtub. And it's hard. She wants to, she's soaking that thing 2-3 times a day if she could. Well, it's daily. Take a long soak in the tub of God's grace. Let's daily take doses of God's grace. Just drink it in to keep that spiritual man healthy, and balanced, and strong. If we'll do that, it'll preserve us. And it'll make us useful to others. And I like both those things. I'd like for God, that's my prayer daily. God, preserve me. God, keep me. And make me useful to others. Don't you want to be useful to others? I'll tell you how we do it. It's by shaking our salt shaker. That's how ye are the salt of the world. All right, I don't go over and bless that time.